We have been trying to take a moment and look and give a better understanding of the Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I only do what my Father says and does and wants. My mind is His, my emotions are His, my will is His, all His. And we're trying to get a handle on that to see how it comes over to us, not just to read it and walk away from it, because it will mean next to nothing to anybody apart from the grace of God. Because it's impossible, utterly impossible for such reality to exist, as we shared last time, that we believers are to be believing the impossible. The world says it's impossible, and you want to prove that that which is impossible is quite possible. You want to prove it's very possible. Now, Genesis chapter 1, going back again just to get a handle on it. And in the beginning, God created male and female, created He them. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And remember we said the word image in verse 26 has to do with the shadowing forth, to shadow forth, a resembling something. You put something out like a shadow. The shadow resembles, tells you what's coming. Look at the shadow and you'll have a clue on what's coming. Image, a shadowing forth, image. And the word likeness is a word added for explanation, to give you, to take the word image and enlarge it, to give it a largeness. And thus the word likeness has to do with resemblance, and representation, something in place of something else. That's in place of something else. Image, man, male and female, created He them, are in place of God. God puts them. Remember we said it's a derived image. Derived. God, remember we had the mirror up here. And the mirror, the object in the mirror, the object in the mirror, the origin is God. And when He looks in the mirror, in the image and likeness of God, a human, when He looks in the mirror, He sees Himself. He finds Himself in that mirror. When you look in a mirror, you see yourself. You see yourself. God created man, woman, uniquely. Of all the things, as you'll see as we try to bumble through this, that you will see God made it so we are so unique of everything that is in all of creation, including angels. Angels do not have what we do. Now, as we do. So now, in the light of that, and you'll notice, please, in verse 26 is the word dominion, shall have dominion. And when you go over to verse 28, the God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the word dominion is the word to rule, to have rule, to be the boss, to be the Lord, little L, of the earth. Now, keeping that in mind, that was the purpose, that man was to have the wonderful, wonderful privilege of being Lord. So that all of creation, that's why when we have all the geology and all that stuff, and you get dinosaurs and tyrannosauruses and rhinoceroses and everything, and you get them all up and the dragons and all the things that were back then have diminished, as everything in creation is diminishing. But there's thousands and thousands and thousands of things of the same, of all species, but they're diminishing. Now, in the light of that, what was so marvelous was, and you know all these things, that here's Adam and Eve in the middle of all of the animals, fish, birds, of all of, and they were magnificent. They weren't carnivorous. They were marvelous things. And they were giants. Obviously, there must have been giants. Wow. And here's Adam and Eve, just like you. And they were the boss. They were Lord over all. They called the shots. What's going on? God is the creator of all of the marvels of creation, Genesis 1, etc. God is the creator. God has put man on the sixth day in his image and likeness. God is going to make visible his invisible person by making humans in his image and likeness to reflect him. What are they doing? They are Lord. God is the ruler over all of creation. And man and Adam and Eve were to rule all of it. And so when you looked, if you could have had a magic flying carpet and flown over there, you would have seen the marvel. If you wondered about the flowers and the birds and the beast and the bugs and the fish and the dragons of the sea, and then you looked at man, and man reflects the Creator. The Creator who created all of these things. He's the ruler of all. So when you would see Adam and Eve or humans, they would tell you a message, not to the animals, to the angels, among other things, that God is the Creator. He is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And God has given the outworking to make visible the invisible God by Adam and Eve having the right and privilege of representing him as rulers in the light of God's word and will to represent him so that all of forever would look and see the Creator, the Lord, who made all this stuff. All you got to do is look at a human and you'll know who made it. They represent God and they do it as Lord. They are not part of it. They are uniquely, wonderfully different from it. Wow. Now, what did the devil do? Well, the devil can't have that. And as you know, Genesis 3:1 and all that stuff. And Adam and Eve sinned, end up sinning, and when they sinned, they lost the relationship to God that gave them all of these privileges. You come to Genesis chapter 9, and there's no more dominion, power, fear, but no dominion, no more. And here we are, we don't have that anymore. We can certainly can be afraid, things can be, etc. You could have a squirrel out there. And if you go out, the squirrel will run from you, run from you. But that isn't the same as dominion. The squirrel might think you'd take him. Now, in the light of that, what happened? Well, here's Satan, and he ends up, you know all the terms without taking time for them. You know, he is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. He rules all of the world. He is also called the God of this world system. He is the little g. He's the prince, the ruler, the prince ruler of the world. And you know the Lord Jesus, when he was tempted, the devil came, and one of his wonderful temptations was, I will give you the glory, the wonderment of all of the kingdoms from Egypt all the way down the line. I will give you the glory and the rule, R-U-L-E, of all of them, if you worship me. Now, he couldn't give that away unless he had it. Now, keeping that in the forefront, and then you know what? That the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is the ruler of darkness. And in Ephesians 6:12, etc., the rulers of darkness. Men love darkness rather than light, Ephesians, Genesis, John 3 and 18, 19. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. And so darkness, without God, not light, the opposite of light. Remember in Ephesians 5:20, men, in order to get along in this world, in the light of the reality, we're going to call good bad, bad good. Light, darkness, darkness, light. Bitter, sweet, sweet, bitter. We're going to turn it all upside down so that we can handle and manage our existence. So instead of trying to find God and good, we're going to look for bad, which you're going to call good, a godless, without you, God, excluding you. So now, having said that point, here we are looking, and what do we know? Well, here's our Lord Jesus Christ comes, and our Lord Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea. He is the perfect man. He represents God in the most perfect way. Perfectly. Not sinless. Perfect. Perfect. He's the sinless Son of God. But sinless. He isn't sinless. He's perfect. God isn't sinless. God is perfect. Perfect. You see. Now here's God in his wonderful perfection. Who he is, and God, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring and make known the invisible God, like humans were supposed to do, but they didn't. They didn't do that. And so our Lord Jesus Christ comes along. Now, hang on to that, and let me go, if I can, over, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, just for a moment, to remind you, and myself, Isaiah 43. Angels know God wonderfully. They serve God until Satan sinned and they fell, that group. But the guys that didn't fall, that are with it, they have one purpose, to enjoy God. Angels. They're endless. They never die. They enjoy God. That's what they do. They aren't there and have the angelic community down by the ocean and another angelic community in the mountains. No, they have one marvelous purpose, to enjoy another person, God. And they worship. So whatever it is, whatever, Lord, you're trying to get to us to understand, they understand, and it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to enjoy God, to reflect, represent God in their wonderful way that they do. Now, in Isaiah chapter 43, Israel's wonderful assignment among to be a witness to all the nations, but I want you to remember Isaiah 43. I'll read verse 9 to get a little background. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us the former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is the truth. Now, in the light of everyone, God says, here's my witness, Israel. How is Israel's witness? What is their witness again? How personal is it? Verse 40 to verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. What on earth is the relationship? Isaiah 43:10. That purpose you may know and believe me. Know me and be believing me. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Your assignment, Israel, is to have such a unique relationship to me, to know, to believe, to understand, to enjoy who I am, for me to be your God, for you to know God, to enjoy God, the created enjoying the Creator wonderfully, for all of the nations of the world to see who is the ruler, who has the right to rule. God does. Who is the Lord? He is. And everyone now, pay attention. Israel was to be a witness to a world, but in the process, being in this world, being in, and remember Moses, just for the practical end of it, Moses, of all the Israelites, 2.5 million or so, wow. But Moses had what? Moses talked to God face to face. How do you think of that? Face to face. I had an opportunity to share that with someone the other day. I said, just a reminder, I said, listen, we said it the other day here, in all the religions and all the ritual and every religion in the world and every ritual that you want to do, it's all your doing, our doing. When you're all done, what about God? Did God get to you and you get to God? Do you have a personal God? And who is God? Buddha? No. Hindu? No. God. And no one has that except by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. You can't do it. You couldn't do it anywhere. So when you want to have somebody and they're giving you a whole lot of stuff, say, hold it. Tell me about your personal relationship to Almighty God. What are they going to say? I mean, what are you going to say when you really get down to it? Well, what? Does God talk to you at night? I mean, how does it work? No, we don't have any relation. That's the point. You need to have. So the purpose of man was to demonstrate that God is the ruler. But Satan rules, and his rulers rule, and all the governments of the world are working on apart from God. Israel tried to work with God, for God, but Israel's unbelief ended up being scattered, and God departed from the temple, and it went down, etc. Now, so here's all of these different rulers, and here's our Lord Jesus Christ, and here's Israel, and here we are. And now what did God, using the Lord Jesus Christ, he represented God's word, God's will, his works. And when you saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when you see me, you have seen God. You know that from John chapter 14. When you have seen me, you have seen God, the Creator. Now, I am to bear witness to the world about who God is, of the only God, the only Savior. And he did that. Now you know, but he didn't do what he would do in the millennium. He didn't do what he's going to do in a new heaven and a new earth. He didn't do what would have been if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. No, because they're all out there, pride, rulers, all competing for power blocks, kings, queens, princes, presidents, all out there, governments, all out, religions, all trying to rule. But he's the ruler. That's right. He is. So, our Lord, what did you do? Well, in my 3.5 years of ministry, I didn't control everybody. I could have. I did everything I did, though. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord when I needed taxes to pay Caesar. I had a fish come up with the money in it. I can do all kinds of things, but I cannot express the marvel of who I am. Because they're all competing. They all want their piece of the pie. Everyone, pride. You want to rule. You want to control your life. He's the ruler. He's the ruler. So now, God, if we get a hold of this, what are we going to know? We're going to have to know what you did. A unique personal relationship to God in a world that rejects him. So we can't have all the benefits of being saved, and the purpose of being saved is to represent the God, the ruler. But we're in a world that is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. It's ruled by everyone and everything except God, it seems. And so therefore, in this wonderful truth that God is seeking to get us to, it's a personal thing to know God in a personal way, to be able to have it be in the world but not of it. We aren't fixing the world, we're just in it to be a testimony to who he is. Now, having said that, and to demonstrate, so now, over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, if I can. We're to show forth the Creator. And we aren't going to have magnificent, you think we're going to have all these powers. No, you're not. You have them, but you don't have them. Because it's the wrong place to exercise them. The wrong time. You know, without taking time, you know in the after, when we're raptured, taken up with the Lord and all that, what do you know? We're going to judge angels. God is judging it. You're going to judge angels. The believer is going to judge the angels. Wow, that sinned. How's that? I'm going to give you rule over 10 cities, over all of this. I'm going to do all these things. You're going to demonstrate what I have, what I've done. But right now, here we are, God, on planet Earth. And our situation is such in a day of grace, and the world is doing what it's doing and going where it's going. God, we have to know what we're looking for, God. We're looking for something marvelous in a unique personal relationship to you that we are to enjoy as sons, as children. Romans chapter 1. And you'll notice, in the light of what we've been seeking to try to share in creation, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead or deity, that he's God, so that they are without excuse. What is our assignment in this world? It is to go, all of these things are made, and they are clearly to be understood. God made them. We understand, being in his image and likeness, that we reflect the Creator who made the flowers. We honor God. Flowers don't thank God. I thank God. You thank God for flowers. Flowers are just flowers, and God makes them as the lilies. Lilies, thousands of them. Wow. God makes them. And you and I can appreciate them and use them and enjoy them. We are representing the Creator who created them. You can go to the zoo and see all the animals. God made them. God made them. And all of the flowers and fruits and trees, we are able to eat of the fruit, all of the different things, and we enjoy creation. We, humans, say thank you and look to God in a wonderful way. We are to represent the Creator of all this stuff. We build rocket ships. We work with mathematics. We work with laws of science and all of it, and we use them. Because we're understanding God made them. And we represent the Creator who put all this in order. Now, in the light of that, and so the only explanation for humans, flowers, God made them, the average squirrel is instinctively does what it does. Everything does what it does instinctively or per design, as God has programmed it. Bumblebees do what they do. Everything does what it does. But when it comes to humans have a wonderful different. Humans in the image and likeness of God. The only explanation for humans is God. And if they leave God out, there is no explanation for their existence. Why do you exist? Why? What do you exist for? Why? And apart from God, there is no answer why you exist. You're an evolved, overgrown plant, a chemical reaction, or whatever you want. So God, here we are looking, and we share together the necessity. It is necessary. And remember, necessity means a pressing. When you say necessary or necessity, it means pressing need. A pressing need. Pressing. A need. But now you add, if you would, that which is indispensable. And when you add indispensable, it's an absolute need. So a pressing need, that's one thing. And add, it's indispensable. It can never happen. Something can't happen if it's indispensable. It cannot occur. A necessity that demands and that which is indispensable. God is indispensable to make it work. The problem, the solution, the purpose cannot happen apart from God. Without me, he said, you can do what? Do nothing. That's why he said it. You cannot exclude God. You can't do it. It won't work. You exclude God. You can't do it. No, not at all. So in the light of that, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and died on the cross, the Lord Jesus did. And the indispensable, God said, as far, I cannot possibly be the man, the perfect man, unless I perfectly fulfill the purpose of being a person. And I must trust God with all my heart, will, mind, emotion. I must trust God. He is absolutely indispensable for my life. Absolutely. Now, slide your eye over, if you would. Oh, well, let's not even guess at it. Over to John chapter 5 again. John chapter 5. And I'm trying to just get you to a little bit to see the magnificence of what God has made possible. And if you don't understand what you're missing, you'll never miss it. How are you going to miss what you didn't even know? See? If I said, in the back of, underneath, in your, assuming you have a shoe with a heel in it or something, on the bottom of your shoe is a waterproof little sack, is $3 million. If you can imagine that. Wouldn't you want to know that? So when you go to the McDonald's, you would feel that you could get two hamburgers instead of one. Wouldn't you want to do that? See, $3 million. God said, I've done all that, and you don't know what I've done for you. You need to know what you have, what I've done. Made possible, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation of his past from death unto life. That means a wonderful, wonderful exercise experience. I went from death to life. And I did that the moment I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Something wonderful happened to me. I came to know him as my Lord and Savior. And I went from death to life. That's what happened. I believed. I let him be who he was to accomplish what he had accomplished on Calvary's cross. And I let him bring that, all those benefits, to my heart. And I went from death to life. Wonderfully so. Over to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians and chapter 3. And you will notice, please, Colossians 3, verse 4. 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ, who is our life. And thus, verse 3, if for you are dead and your life is hidden where? Where will we find our life? In the person of Jesus Christ. Where is the person of Jesus Christ? In God. God, Christ, me, you. In him. Life. A unique personal relationship to God in a most marvelous, marvelous way. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So here's this unique personal relationship that we have to God. And we're to exercise it. And he makes it possible. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes possible. He brings us that kind of life, that kind of relationship. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And he brings to our heart the rule, the wonderful royalty and wonder of being able to be a son. A son. You know, it's one thing to be a son of a king, literal king, a son of a queen, son of a general, son of a great hero. To be a son of God. Do you know, it's a wonderful thing, God. And God said, I've done that. I made it possible for you to be a son. A wonderful, unique, personal relationship to me. And so that you can go, and here in Colossians, while you're here, chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This marvelous, marvelous Christ in you. The hope of glory, the wonderful anticipation, expectation of glory. God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know? God, Christ, life, life. Christ is my life, is your life, as you trust him as your Lord and Savior. And our Lord Jesus Christ is able to go and give us a wonderful, unique relationship to God. With all of the benefits and all of the bliss, all of the blessing, God gives it to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Look over here, if you would, while you're right there. Why not? Do you see, think of all the prayers in the New Testament. And that's what you want to learn to pray. You want to know, what is God? How do you talk to God? You want to learn to talk to God in biblical language. You want to look for what God's looking for. I want what you want, God. God will give the desire of my heart if I want his will. And God will give it to me. That's what God's going to do. So here in Colossians, God, we're praying. Think of all those prayers. Here's one of them. Verse 9, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That purpose you might walk worthy to live your life, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, always growing, always knowing, a wonderful, wonderful ever expansion. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and unto all patience, bearing up under the load, and long suffering, long before being angry, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. God, this is how you want us to think and feel. That's right. I want all of the wonderment of power, relationship, thanksgiving, joy. I want you to understand a wonderful reality of life. L-I-F-E. I want you to live it. You say, I'm not a puppet. Not a puppet at all. A son. We are slaves. That's how the word is. We are love slaves of the Lord Jesus. A slave. A wonderful, committed slave. You are indispensable, God. I cannot survive. I cannot succeed without you. You are absolutely indispensable. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. And as we look to you, God, trust you, we're to be a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, making all things new. God, the possible. You are making possible. I made something wonderfully possible. Religion and secular, the secular world, to the religion and the secular world, it's impossible. Name me what religion you can think of that a man, a woman, boy, or girl can possess God. I don't mean Zeus and Jupiter and Mercury and Pluto and all that. Name me one religion. Oh, apart from Greek mythology and that, coming down and empowering, you know, somebody to give them power, and heaven looks down with all the gods that aren't there and gives someone, but who, you couldn't do that. You could watch the movie, which I assume that's where it is, or a book. That's all you can do. You don't have any contact with God. Wow. So God, you have made it wonderfully, wonderfully possible that you would live in my heart, and that I would live in you. And there's nowhere in forever such a promise is made or possible in all of this life. Think about it. And if you miss out on that, I don't care what you do or where you go, you are going to be utterly disappointed and bankrupt. Zilch. You have nothing. Now, that's telling you straightway. You know, someone could tell you, well, be nice and it'll come out. I'm not telling you that because it won't come out. It can't come out. It can't happen. So God. So we look to you for the impossible. And it becomes very, very possible. Your wonderful design, your wonderful purpose, your wonderful plan, God. So here we are looking to you. We're going to trust you with all our heart. And we're going to recognize, God, that you are indispensable. The air is indispensable. Air is indispensable for our physical being. We must have air, air. And in the process of that, you are indispensable for our spiritual life. Air for our physical life. God for our spiritual life. Cannot do it, God. Cannot have it. Not apart from you. It's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Our Lord Jesus will say, I do nothing of myself. I only do that which represents the Father. He's the source of my life. I, as a human being, perfect humanity, am representing a perfect God in a perfect way, so that all the world would know, is there a God who created all this? Absolutely. Absolutely. The invisible, infinite God you can't see, you'll never will. We're in his presence forever. Wow. And yet, you and I are able to walk around, as we said. And you can shake hands when I shake your hands if you're saved. I'm shaking hands with your God at the same time. Am I not? I'm shaking hands with your God. The body belongs to whom? belongs to Him. The hand belongs to Him. The head belongs to Him. The heart belongs to Him. The teeth belong to Him. Wow. And nowhere in forever is such a thing exist. Do you understand that? I don't care if you're getting a special trip and travel all over the world. Go to Tibet. That's an interesting place up there. And go to all these places. When you're all done sitting and watching, you are only have to come back. There's only one way to get to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. So now, in the light of that, so then we would want to go, in my fumbling, trying to get you to provoke you to see something, to understand it. And because it's so impossible, all Protestants and Catholics, for the most part, don't believe it. They don't believe it. We're churchy. We're believers. But we don't. Do we ever claim what God has said and done? No, but we don't need to. No one else does. Why should we? And God isn't judging us, except He said, except you build on that foundation, which no other man can lay than that which is our Lord Jesus Christ. If you build wood, hay, and stubble, you've got nothing. Gold, silver, and precious stone. You can do something with your life if you choose, or you cannot choose. You lose. Do nothing and you lose. And indifference, lose. I'll think about it. You lose. I'm going to play with it someday. You lose. Don't be a loser. You don't have to be a loser. God in man must be the exclusive cause of His creative, redemptive person. God must be the origin of His own image, His own activity, the dynamic of all His demands. God, when God says do it, God is there to make it happen. Don't worry, and God is there to see that you don't worry. God alone and God only can be God, no other at all. And so God, how can you be? A painting isn't God. Flowers aren't God. Bugs aren't God. God made humans to enjoy a personal God in a personal way, so that the world, angels in particular, and that all in the ultimate day coming, that God might be all in all, when He fixes and puts everything in order, that God is going to be found everywhere. Everywhere God is going to be found. You can't have God. Anything, God has to be in it. Anything and everything, God must be in it. You cannot leave God out and say God is there. How can you replace God? You aren't God. I'm not God. You can't replace Him. Wow. Over, if you would, please. Oh, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, again, the prayer. And what are you after, God? If you look, as a believer, what's happening inside my heart? I mean, what do I receive Him for as my personal Savior? Verse 17, chapter 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. There's no way. All you can do is enjoy it. that purpose, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now, God, what are you going to do to make us all get us excited? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamite, the dynamo, the dynamic that worketh in us. God, you mean it's all possible. That's right. That's right. How come so few ever know that? Why is it so few ever get there? And sort of going to church is nice, and if they want to, they come, don't come. You know. Wow. They didn't connect yet. Got to connect. God, what a marvelous thing it is to know you. Now, in saying that, do you remember in Isaiah 55, verse, you don't have to turn there, Isaiah 55, 8, 9, 10, 11. My ways, my words, my thoughts, my works, adding, are higher than the heavens. My ways and my thoughts are higher than the heavens. Now, and now you can go over in your Bible. Oh, we got to pick one place. Psalm 139. There's more, but just get this one. Psalm 139. Picking up, please, in the light of the God's wonderful, wonderful person. God, your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. God, what you do and what you want to do in my heart, with all your words and all your works, you want me to honor them. Mm-hmm. Why do you want me to honor you? And I do nothing of myself. I'm going to look to you, God. Why am I going to be that? Boy, you have no life. You have no life. Wrong. I only have my thoughts. My lousy little thoughts. Of whatever they are. About whatever we're going to eat. Or not eat. Do or not do. Have or not have. Go or not go. All I got is my thoughts. And I yield. I submit to God's thoughts. That are higher and greater than all the heavens. And thus, Psalm 139, you know it, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, verse 18, they are more in number than the sand. And if I, when I awake, I'm still with thee. God, why would I, if I have the option of working with my thoughts about my life, my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I could choose to look to you, God, to outwork your thoughts, which are higher than the heavens, which are more than the sand of the sea about me, why would I be so narrow and stupid to center just in my pride, my dumb thoughts? Why would I do that? You understand that? I wouldn't do that. That's crazy. It's crazy. Why would I do that? That's what God's done for you. And don't be, well, my pride, my thought. Listen, I don't care if you have an IQ of a massive 30. Is 30 a good IQ? No. 35. 3005. I don't care what your intelligent quotient is. I just want you to be a little child. Childlike. And trust a Heavenly Father that has more concern for you and a plan and a power, and he never leaves you. Never leaves you. When you receive my Son, you receive me, said God the Father. I and my Son are the same. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. Help us, our God. What do we know? Nothing. So deal with us, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you very much. Awaken our hearts, quicken us to the magnificent, merciful, wonderful person that you are. And that we would begin to truly, truly trust you and enjoy. God, would you be to us no one and nothing less than exactly who you are. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.